First Chronicles 12, verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Now, in this chapter of First Chronicles, surrounding this verse of scripture, you will find a list of the tribes of Israel and a short description of each one. When we come to verse 32, it mentions the children of Issachar as men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What that meant was that they understood the natural times, the political times. They understood public affairs, the temper of the nation, the tendencies of present events. Now listen to the quote from the biblical illustrator on this verse of scripture. It said, "It is an important thing to understand the times in which we live and to know what those times require. Next to our Bibles and our own hearts, our Lord would have us study our own times." So we see that it's very important that we, like the children of Issachar, we understand the times in which we live, to know what those times require. God wants us to study our own times. And just as the children of Issachar, God wants us to understand the times just like they did, the natural times, understand the political times, the public affairs, the temper of our nation, the tendencies of our present events. But I am finding that many of God's people, or those professing to be God's people, are blind to what is going on in our times. I'm finding that many of God's people who should know better are lacking understanding. They are blind to what's actually going on. And while I was studying for this broadcast, I thought of that verse of scripture, Luke 6:39, where Jesus spoke a parable and he said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" He was talking about those being blind as those not illuminated from above, those incapable of judging concerning spiritual things. He was talking about people enveloped with darkness, where they cannot judge the state of others. Their judgment is rash. They are blinded because of pride, prejudice, and bigotry. They're led by common opinion, by the course and custom of this world. And sad to say, there are many of God's people who fall into this category. They are following a multitude to do evil. They're following those who talk as blind men talk. Now, there's The media, the liberal media, fits that category. They talk as blind men talk. They are blind men talking. Yet you see many people of God that are following the liberal media today, and they're following the blind. The blind are leading the blind. And you say, how can that be? How could God's people be blinded? Well, I have found two reasons for that in the scriptures, and I'd like to share them with you. The first reason is found in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. And in this passage of scripture, Peter exhorts the believers. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he mentions virtue, knowledge, temperance or self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. He says, add these to your faith. Now, each of these characteristic qualities that you add, that as you add them, you are acquiring greater growth spiritually. When you add to your faith these qualities, you are adding the capacity to see further and further, spiritually speaking. And if you possess these, then God consequently endows you with spiritual sight. So this is what happens when you obey the word of God and you add to your faith these virtues, these qualities. You are endowed by God with spiritual sight. But there are dire consequences when you don't obey the word and you lack these things. Verse 9 says this, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." He that lacketh these things, in other words, they are not present, they are not there, they're not being exercised, they're not performed, they're not improved on, they're not cultivated. And when that happens, then he that lacks these things is blind. Now, Peter was not saying total blindness here. And of course, we're talking spiritually speaking. He wasn't saying that they're totally blind, that they can't see anything, but he was talking about being short-sighted, seeing only what is near, can only see things which lie close around him, like the earth and earthly things. The things of the world bulk largely in his eyes. He has no correct apprehension of objects that are more remote. And we know this because he went on to say, "He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off." He cannot see afar off. He suffers from spiritual myopia, which is he's short-sighted, discerns only the near, unable to see the distant objects, cannot discern the future things that are to happen. He is not seeing certain things as he ought to see them. He's seeing them in a false magnitude. So you see, there are dire consequences when you don't develop, you don't cultivate your faith. And you just, go on with your Christianity. Don't worry about growing or hungering for more. This is what happens. There are consequences. You become blind or short-sighted, where you cannot see the future. You cannot see things that are ahead. You can't see afar off. You're unable to see clearly. You're blind to spiritual truth. You're short-sighted. You are unable to see far off. The future is all a haze. You are myopic, nearsighted. You lack foresight or discernment. You have a narrow view of things. And this is what happens. This is the reason why some or many are blind to understanding the times in which they live. They have this blindness on this short-sighted myopia, where they lack discernment because they're not developing, cultivating, they're not adding to their faith these qualities that Peter mentioned. Now, a second reason for the blindness that's on some or many of God's people is Revelations 3:16 and 17 gives us the second reason. Jesus said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Notice what Jesus said. You are blind. That he was talking about blind as far as you don't know your real condition. You are blinded by the God of this world. You don't see the reality of your condition. Now, he was talking to the church at Laodicea, and they claimed material wealth. They said, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Because they had material wealth, they felt like they lacked nothing, they needed nothing. It was as if all that there is to life is material wealth. And because they had that, they had everything. So they really didn't need God for anything. You know, why pray? I don't really need anything at this time, Lord. I have it all. I have material wealth. And you wonder, where did they get this attitude? Well, it came from the city of Laodicea, because Laodicea was a great commercial city. It was rolling in wealth. And this attitude of the city affected the church. The Christians shared the self-sufficiency of their fellow townsmen, and they carried it into the sphere of their relations with God and Christ. So Jesus said to them, "You are blind." And the reason why is because they were so well pleased with themselves. But yet he is saying, "You are in the dark spiritually. Spiritual things are obscure to you. Spiritual values are as clear as mud. And you have no idea of your condition spiritually." They were a lukewarm church. They were a church that compromised with the world and resembled their surrounding society. Listen to what the Bible Exposition Commentary said. "We can be in a deplorable state and not even know it. Our pride so blinds us that we cannot see what we are. Self-conceit brings self-delusion. There is a big difference between how we view ourselves and how Jesus views us. We think we do not have any needs. Jesus sees us as totally needy. A materialistic worldview makes us blind to a spiritual worldview. Care of our body blinds us to the care of our souls." So we see, because they were lukewarm, worldly, thought money was everything, Jesus said, "You are blind, blind to your condition." And then he told them in Revelation 3:18, "I counsel thee to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." What he was referring to at eye salve, it was called collyrium. And it was made up in the shape of a cake of bread. It was compounded of various substances supposed to have a healing quality. But he was speaking to them, spiritually speaking. "Anoint your eyes. Pray for the enlightening influence of my spirit, because my Holy Spirit will convince you of your true state and will show you where your help lies, where your help comes from. It's not for money or from the world. Anoint thine eyes with thy salve. Pray for the illumination of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes, first to your own wretchedness, and then to the preciousness of the Savior, that you would see him." So we see two reasons for our blindness to come on God's people is, first of all, not adding to your faith the qualities like courage, self-control, patience, brotherly kindness, love, these things, godliness. And then also being a lukewarm Christian, that you're all caught up with money and wealth, and in the society, you're just conformed to what you think like they do. You want to be like the world. And so this blinds you to your true condition. And this is why God's people would be among those who don't understand the times. And let's go over to Mark 8:22-25. Here I want to show you a picture of this, of what it looks like to be a Christian that's blinded. It's Mark 8:22-25. It's a passage of scripture talking about how Jesus came to Bethsaida and the people brought to him a blind man and they asked him to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, spit on his eyes, then put his eyes upon him, and he asked him if he saw. And this is what the blind man said. He said, "I see men as trees walking." Now he saw something, but he wasn't seeing distinctly. He figured out, well, they look like trees, but they're moving. Trees don't move like that, so they must be men. And so he figured it out. Yeah, that I see men as trees walking. Well, his sight was so imperfect that he could not distinguish between men and trees only by the motion. And his vision was incomplete. It didn't have the power of discerning. It was confused, obscure, wasn't clear. And actually, this is a good picture of those Christians who are blinded by the world, blinded through lack of growth. And they're like this blind man. They see, but it's not clear. They're seeing. It's like they're seeing men as trees walking. Well, I see something. I see things happening, but it's not clear. It's not clear. You don't really know what's going on. You just see motion, and you're kind of saying, well, I think so, maybe so, perhaps, and that's not good enough. That's not good enough. God does not want you to walk around maybe, if, so, perhaps. He wants you to see clearly, to understand the times, so you know what to do. This is necessary that we see clearly. Okay, and this is the answer. What Jesus did to this man is the answer for those who are blind as God's people. Mark 8:25 says, after that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now notice what Jesus did. He put his hands on him again. He laid his hands on him, and then he gave an order, a command. He said he made him look up. That was an order, a command. Look up, lift up your eyes. And when the man obeyed Jesus, he was restored, and he saw everything clearly. His sight was restored. He could see all things, every object clearly. Now before, he saw it indistinctly and confusedly, but now he saw everything distinctly and afar off. He saw it in the distance, the future. The farthest things were clearly seen. This is the answer. If you were convicted by the Holy Spirit and you feel like, yes, Connie, I'm one. I haven't really been growing. I haven't been adding to my faith the qualities that Peter mentioned. Or I've gotten worldly. I've been caught up with the world, with material goods. Just different things have taken my heart, my affection away from Jesus. Well, your answer is to ask him to lay his hands on you again and then obey his command. Lift up your eyes. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look up, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's your answer. Then you will be able to be like Issachar and have an understanding of the times so that you know what to do in these last days. I want to leave you with the chorus of a song that we sing in church services, very famous, very familiar to you. Listen to these words. They're so fitting at this time. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. God wants you to have understanding of the times in which you're living so that you will know what to do. Cry out to the Lord. Let this song be your prayer. God, I look to you. Give me vision to see things like you do. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I look to you, Jesus, and believe for it. In Jesus' name. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord, I pray that this message would go forth in might and power, and that your people will receive the word that you delivered to them today, that you would give your people vision to see things like you do and give them wisdom to know what to do. Lord, as the people of God, we all look to you today. We lift up our eyes and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In your name we pray. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.